we have to create the right vibe, you know, the energy, and everybody at the organization has to feel so privileged to be here. It's no other way.
Thanks for listening to the Purely Arsenal podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Purely Arsenal FP for all the latest Arsenal podcasts.
Welcome to another post-match edition of a Purely Arsenal podcast, live with our beautiful faces on YouTube and all the other podcast apps as well. Got Neil Shah with me. How you doing, Neil?
I've got over it. We're still on for the quad.
Yeah. Well, the Thursday night's going to be a big one for you then, if we are. Let's see how we go with that. James Johnson here as well. How are you doing, James?
Yeah, no, I echo the sentiments of Neil. I'm better than I was yesterday. If we did this yesterday, it might have been very shouty, very angry. But I've been a bit more composed and chilled out now.
Yeah, same. So I'm rewatching it and I'm much calmer. If you do it straight afterwards, there's always get a lot of abuse, don't you, if you do it straight afterwards. So we'll get just a little bit of abuse now. So Michael Harris, spanking Arsene Wenger. How you doing, Mike?
Yeah. Calm, nice and calm at the moment. But when we start talking about it, might a few things might start to bubble again. But
let's do it. Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's do lineup. Mike, go straight back to you. What were your thoughts on the lineup? My initial thought from what I remember was, that's about as sort of safe and structured as we could have gone. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, not to knock Eldeni at all in terms of what he's been doing, his performances and everything, the job he's been asked to do. Yeah, I thought it was a bit too safety first. And I know he played him against Fulham away, but that was probably more or the instance that Danny hadn't. You know, he just got back in the country. He just got back in with the unit, and so I was surprised that with all the talk and everything, and the way he was building the game up in terms of us being positive and going down there and trying to see if we could win, that he would, go that way with that position, with that part of the team, which we know is the one that we're all kind of worried about, that midfield and being able to deal with the press and everything. And to be fair, when he came on, he which we'll talk about later, he found a few openings and everything. But yeah, I just felt that the lineup, and especially with Gabriel as well, that was a surprising one. But yeah, with the whole lineup, I was a bit surprised that he left Danny out, because you know, this is a different. Everyone, I think everyone was making reference to how Ceballos played last time we played Liverpool, and basically he got run over, didn't he? He wasn't strong enough. He was pushed off the ball. He didn't feature, hardly had any touches. This is a different Danny Ceballos now. Yeah, this is a Danny Ceballos post lockdown restart, whatever you want to call it. This is a different guy, a different animal. So, gutted that he didn't start. With having that sort of, he gets stuck in, gets some of the little niggly tackles going in there, and I would have liked him to have a good go at them, because I felt that was where we've all said it, that's where they're sort of weakest, Liverpool, in their midfield. You know, even when they've got Henderson there, you always know you can sort of get at them with a little bit of creativity. So a bit disappointed that we didn't go in there with him, to be fair, but we'll obviously talk about that a little bit more as you get further down the pod.
Yeah, that was my biggest disappointment as well. It wasn't a shock to see it. I just felt it was very safe. It's already a conservative formation in a way. Anyway, it's very difficult to be more expansive. I mean, I heard a stat on another podcast. I want to give them credit. I think it's the Arsenal Vision one. They said out of everyone in the league, we've created the second least amount of shots so far in the league. So what that it says is just like the lack of creativity from this formation is, and obviously, you know, playing against Liverpool at Anfield is a factor there, and not everyone's done that, and it's a maybe a unique kind of game. But that was the biggest thing that stood out to me, what you said, Mike, is the Danny Ceballos not starting. We all read the quotes, I'm sure, on Danny Ceballos after last year's game at Anfield, where he said it's like they suffocated you, I just couldn't catch your breath, I've never played against a team like that. And obviously he didn't have a great game there, but if you remember, he was playing in a diamond on the left side of it last year, and so it was really not anywhere you should be putting Danny Ceballos. So I remember that game. I think we had Guendouzi on the right side of the diamond. It was just a very odd setup. But we won't talk about that one. But we'll focus more on this one. James, let's go to you on that. Obviously, spoke about Elneny coming in, who, surprisingly, Mike said it, and I was surprised. Well, I thought he was our best central midfielder by quite a long shot. Granit Xhaka had 67% possession stats yesterday, and I don't think I've ever seen him below 80 for Arsenal. That's his thing, you know, being able to keep the ball. That just shows what happens when you put a little bit of pressure on Granit Xhaka, though, doesn't it? Like, if you put him under pressure, he's not press resistant at all, is he, really? But James, what I mean, in the first half, let's just talk first half in general, I felt we were just too passive. What did you think?
Yeah, no, 100% agree with you. And then also, you know, this 3-4-3 has been quite a tactical masterstroke, and everybody has sort of bought into it and is doing their roles and doing their roles really well. But yesterday, I don't mean to just instantaneously start digging a player out, but yesterday, we saw how well he is when he actually sticks to being that left wing back and when he's position disciplined. And yesterday, for me, I don't know why. I don't know if it's more of a lack of creativity, but he roaming as a left midfielder for me. You're mute, mate.
We're getting a little bit of lagging on your end. It's buffering again. I don't know why. I don't know why it's lagging and buffering. But let's see if I'll come back to you. I think you were talking about Ainsley Maitland-Niles, I think, on the left wing back role. And so I'll just follow on from it and see if we can fix your buffering. But from what I remember, I mean, if you talk, it's just unbelievably athletic, Ainsley Maitland-Niles. Just when you look at Liverpool, they just felt like they were so much fitter than us, right? After 40 minutes, I'm just seeing Lacazette blowing and walking. Willian looked older than 32, and that, no offence, but he really did. But that's what Liverpool can do to you. They just look like it's like a Premier League team versus a Championship team in terms of fitness. It was just incredible to see. And I did think Liverpool had one of the better games that I see of them, to be honest. I thought they were really good, to be honest, for them. But Neil, what was just before I try to go back to James, see if his buffering's sort of figured it out. But what were your thoughts on the first half, Neil? We, you know, in the last two games against Liverpool, we've always had an out ball. So I don't. Are you comfortable though with this sort of defensive setup when you're so passive and you sit so deep? I know it's against a team that's one of the best in Europe, but I find it. I don't know if it's because I've been trained through Wenger through 22 years of just trying to play constantly, but I find it. I felt this was a bit too much for me, a bit too defensive.
This kind of, with all due respect to Arteta, a little bit Emery-esque, playing it far too safe for me. We already had a fairly, even if Ceballos had been included, it still would have been a very defensive kind of setup, because we know Liverpool high press. We know that they're gonna push us back, but I think we sat far too deep for pretty much most of the game, apart from the first 20 minutes, maybe the start of the second half, where things changed a little bit with a bit more of aggression. But in the first half, it was just far too negative for me, far too slow. We were doing all. I know the philosophy is to try and play from the back, and in fact, yes, one of those situations did lead to the goal, so it worked on one occasion. But most of the time, my goodness, to try and do it against probably one of the best pressing teams in the league, that's a big ask. And I just thought that they were too slow, they were too tight at the back. I think they were like switching from being too tight certain times, like especially the back three with Leno, and not spreading out so much. And then there were other times where they should have been tighter and closing in on the Liverpool players where they weren't. So it was a bit of a mix and match, but doing it in the wrong way for me. And I just thought, you know, against such a good team that can pass the ball and create phenomenal surges going forward so quickly, I just feel that we paid them too much respect, Jack. We paid them far too much respect. We're a better team than that for me. We have got a really good, if you think about it, you know, I know you said that Willian looked very old, but I think if they'd started with a different mentality right from the off, like they did very much again in the first, just starting the second half again, the start of it, I think it could have been a bit of a different game, because, you know, by paying them far too much respect and letting them come on to them all the time and thinking that we're going to have this outlet playing by back, we're going to catch them off guard. Yes, again, it did lead to that first goal. But to be honest with you, I just thought that we should have been a bit more respectful to ourselves. I think we should have had that much more confidence to say, we've got a good attacking lineup. Let's push a bit far forward. Let's see what happens by doing it that way. Because I just think by doing that, we could have caught Liverpool a little bit off guard at times. But this was too cagey for me. It was far too negative. That's how I feel. And this is what cries out for that CDM we keep talking about. So someone like that in place, protecting the back three, or whoever the defence is going to set up, we can be that little bit more forward, still be defensive in mind, but have that aggression just a bit further up the pitch. And then that closes the gap between him and the front lineup. So I just think that we certainly, I'm going to keep on going about it until the window closes, we certainly need that player.
Yeah, we're all hoping for that. And they press so well that there's only one way or two ways to really out that press. And one is to play out the back perfectly, which, like you said, the goal came from. It wasn't perfect because Niles' ball in the end, but the goal came from. Or the other is to go long, which we've done against them in the Community Shield and also against City in the Community Shield and been very effective. But those players that have been good at playing the ball long for us, the Luises, the Tierneys, their passing wasn't as accurate, right? And they were under more pressure. I thought it was one of Tierney's, I don't know if he was 100% fit or not, but I thought it was one of his worst games in an Arsenal shirt, to be honest. I felt he used the ball poorly. He was constantly under pressure and Salah kind of had his number.
I think Niles as well, Jack. I think Niles wasn't as good going forward in his passes. Normally he's been quite good. I just interrupt quickly, I would preferred if Gabriel had started, maybe on the left of Luis, holding on the right. He had Bellerin on the other, no, sorry, Niles on the right, and maybe Tierney as a fullback on the other side. I think that would have been better, to be honest. I know we would have sacrificed Bellerin, but I think that might have been a better option.
He had a poor game as well, Bellerin. I thought he had a poor game. Some schoolboy defending there from him. We don't want to call people out because I think it is circumstance, and we're playing against a team that is clearly far superior to us. And I did agree with a lot of Arteta's comments. They are far further along. It's taken them 3-4 years to perfect this kind of football. I don't think any of us. I mean, I know we were positive in the podcast, but anyone expected us to go there and dominate the game. We knew we were going to be playing in a relatively similar way. But again, in the Community Shield, we've had this out ball. We've used the ball better in the unique moments that we've had it, and we didn't do that. I want to go back to James real quick before I go to Mike, because I want to make sure his mic is working. James, Sadio Mane, first 2 minutes. Thoughts?
Yeah, am I back now? Am I all right?
You sound all right there. Yeah, go on, carry on.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, first and foremost, he has this... I mean, he come out to me like he'd either snorted packet or just someone had wound him up all game beforehand, saying like, I don't know if you've seen these Arsenal boys, Mane, but they've been saying they're going to rip you and they're going to do you today or whatever. And he just come out like, didn't he? Like he was, you know, reminded me of in the 80s when Hulk Hogan used to get battered and then all of a sudden he'd rile up and he rakes the back of Bellerin's legs in about the first two or so minutes. And I'm watching with my dad and I'm like, that's a fucking booking. I'm like, I don't care how early that is.
That's a booking. Yep.
And then straight after this, I mean, the handball stuff. Okay. We laughed at the weekend because of Spurs, we laughed about it. But it's a joke. But on top of this handball stuff, right, are you allowed to just get punched in the face on a football pitch now? Is this the level that we've got to that people can... And for me as well, and I've said it so many times last season and we laughed about it, right? There is God knows how many different angles you can look at this, but you've got a linesman here, you've got the ref there, and the incidents like where I've wrapped this bit round here. That's the best way I can describe it. And I'm like, so you haven't deemed it. The ref hasn't deemed it. And then the VAR, I didn't even go to VAR to be reviewed. I'm like, that is atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. And I'm not this conspiracy against Arsenal person. I'm not that guy. But when it's stuff that's so simplistic and basic that, you know, I mean, we're getting one or two angles or three angles from Sky. These guys have like I've said before, they own the footage. Do you know what I mean? Like, the Premier League own how it's distributed. I'm like, you're telling me in that Stockley Park or wherever it is that there ain't multiple angles of that, that one person, I mean, there's the linesman and the referee, so that's two there, and then there's three, you know, for want of a better word, monkeys back at Stockley Park or whatever, looking at all the tellies, and not one of them's like second glanced at.
The thing for me is, just to jump in, is the fact that this has happened before, and we've seen things like this happen before, and we've seen a referee not give anything at all. Like, he's not even given a yellow, but the fact that he's seen violent conduct, and he's seen it, and obviously deemed it, oh, it's only worth a yellow card. It's violent conduct. That's it. You're off. It's a red straight away. There's no if, buts, or maybes. That's it. So the fact that he's seen that, or spoken to whoever, and they said, yeah, he smashed Tierney in the face. Yeah, he used his elbow, violent conduct. Yeah, he's just giving me a yellow card. You know, that's the thing. That shouldn't be happening. You know, so, like, you know, we all know I've gone on record and said what I think about the whole VAR situation and lack of transparency and how certain teams are favoured. And you can only look at the last three or four games we played against them and some of the challenges that they've had, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold on Saka, I think Mane on Maitland-Niles, I think they've got away with it. They've not seen red. So,
I'm glad you're saying this, because so many of their fans, and I can't stand their fans anyway, but so many of their fans on Twitter were like, oh, come on, it's early in the game and we're not a dirty side.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. But like you said, they had the Trent one, which, God knows how that weren't a red. You said the other one with Maitland-Niles.
Well, the thing is, the week before,
when he kicked, didn't he kick? What's his name? Punted him in the chest.
Yeah. It was soon after
After the Leicester game. So that's the thing. It was the same thing.
That's where the issues will come up about consistency and being fair. Because if it's remotely fair, the review has to be there, and that's what it's not the decision that throws me. It's the lack of review. Do you know what the commentator said when it happened? He said, Mane will be hoping the game will be restored really quickly here. That's what the ref's doing. The ref's going, oh, if we carry on with it, people forget about it, so let's keep going. Why isn't there a review on that? Our players have surrounded the ref. We don't do it that often because Arteta tells our players not to do it. It's incredible. The lack of review is incredible.
I've said you know, a few times that you know, like in rugby where they can cite a player for dangerous play, and that's normally done after, you know, the game's finished. They can send it up to the disciplinary board and they can have a look at it, and they can, you know, the way things are going with VAR and everything, I think teams should be able to challenge a decision like that, and then that makes the officials and people at VAR to spend 30 seconds on reviewing that, rather than just, you know, and then hearing the communication as well, so that they have reviewed it and we can hear the decision, and so then we can take them to task on that. At the moment, there's just no transparency. How can you have someone smash someone in the face like that? It's violent conduct, and then say, oh, that's deemed a yellow card. Same thing's going to happen at the weekend, but maybe not as bad as that, and someone will get red for it. That's the difference, you know. It's crazy.
As we're talking about the ref, the Jota one. Now, I don't think that's a handball in the sense of what true handball rule is, meaning it's ball to hand. I don't think he intentionally hits his hand against the ball, but in everything we've seen so far this season, that's a handball. It's more of a handball than Deere's one. It's more than a handball than Lindelof's one. And there's my issue. And suddenly David Ornstein comes out an hour ago going, this weekend they're gonna change the handball rule and be a bit more subjective. And I went, no, what do you mean this weekend? Don't wait till this weekend, David. Do it in Anfield. There's no better place to do it than Anfield, where they always win, right? So that's, I don't want this. We didn't deserve anything from the game as a whole. We're not saying we did, but these two decisions were. Well, one of them should have been given based on the rule that they've implemented since the start of the season, so there's a lack of consistency, and the other one is a red all day long. Neil, go on.
Yeah, no. I was just going to say that all of us who watched it in the UK and watching it on Sky, they didn't even touch on it. Even after the game, they did not touch on it, Jack, not once. And you just think, if that had been our player, had done that. Oh my God. Yeah, that's definite violent contact. Yeah, he should have been off. If he didn't get off, but he most likely would have got off, sent off. But what annoyed me was the first push that he did on Bellerin. That, in theory, could have easily been a yellow. So even if they didn't deem that one a red, he would have been off anyway because he got a yellow for it. So he would have been off. And that could have changed the dynamic of the game. And massive. I agree with you, Jack.
He's angry as well. He scores. That's what
I agree. On balance, Liverpool clearly deserved the win. They deserved it. As a football fan, they were played some brilliant, beautiful attacking football, and they deserved the win. But as Jack said, those decisions, you know, that could have changed it for us. It's a flashpoint, and it could have changed it.
That's massively, because you know that we talk about their press, and they've got the best press I've seen in many a year, and it starts from those three at the front. And if one of them's taken out, that's a massive difference. I'm not saying we're going to turn them over, but that's a massive difference to the game. It's a game changing decision there. If they've got 10 men and they can't do that press anymore, straight away it could be a case of, all right, Mane's off, we can even take Elneny off at half time and then puts Danny on, and then he's got more space because that press is there. So that's why referees have to uphold the laws of the game, because they are affecting games. They're affecting the way games could be. It goes without saying.
Klopp told them to do it. This wasn't a one-off incident. He told them that we're going to try and play out the back, lay into them, because they did it continually throughout the game. Right, Keita on Ceballos, I remember, 69, just ran through him. Yeah. Aubameyang, Fabinho, no foul, by the way, for that one. They just clotheslined him, no foul. The referee was absolutely shocking. I don't know if you remember a couple of moments in the second half where we were going to break and we had the ball, and he called it back for a free kick to us. And our players were going, oh, hold on a minute, we've only touched the ball three times. One time we were on a break, Pepe was gone. He was gone. He was. There was no one in front of him. He was gone. Free kick to Arsenal on the edge of your box. You enjoy that. Unbelievable refereeing from my perspective. And Liverpool fans showing the video of the ref putting his head up because of Lacazette. I'm like, yeah, all right, you keep showing that one, boys, because you know you had one on us on this game. But like you said, it mars the game a little bit in the sense of, you know how important Mane is. I think there's an aura that comes with these players as well. You know, remember what it was like with the Invincibles. And, if it's not Sadio Mane and it's Nicolas Pepe, for example, who's new to the league, still finding his feet, I just get the feeling there's a different review of that. But Sadio Mane, Footballer of the Year, being fans, probably Liverpool's best player. They've won everything. They go, oh no, we don't want to touch that one. We don't want to touch that. Let's move off of it. So there's a real problem there with the way they review those things. And any sort of question mark, any sort of 1% question, they should be reviewing that. Our players and everything is enough question mark to go.
Jack, the reason why is wholeheartedly, he's gone. It's really early in the game and it will ruin it as a spectacle. I'm like,
that's schoolboy stuff.
Yeah, but I'm like, fuck the spectacle because he's ruined it. But I'm like, if you're watching it per se with a young kid who wants to aspire to be a footballer and you see stuff like that happening and you see stuff like that going punished, that kid's probably going to think, well, on Saturday or Sunday, I'm going to smack someone in the face because I've seen Sadio Mane do it and get away with it. And I love Sadio Mane. And that's not the attitude we should have. Regardless of the spectacle or not, stuff like that needs to be punished because, for want of a better word, it's just allowing violence. Like, where's it going to stop? Like, are we going to get the likes of Adebayor stomping on the Van Persie's head again or something? Like, there needs to be a line where it goes, that is unacceptable on a football pitch.
You have to set the precedent, Jack. Yeah, James, exactly. You've got to set the precedent. And then using someone like Mane, even if he is like the sort of like at the moment, the poster boy footballer because of what he is and who he is, it's even better to use an example like him. And he should have been sent off that day.
Yeah, yesterday. Even if it's not now, they should at least be saying retrospectively, because of this violent conduct, he should be done. You know, we've looked at it now and we've realised the mistake we've made. But they won't. He'll probably play Thursday and score against us on Thursday night. But, you know.
Yeah, no, yeah, they'll probably, I'd be surprised if Jurgen Klopp turns up Thursday night with how much respect they show to domestic cups, in fairness. But nothing ever said about that either. Imagine Wenger did that just for a second. Imagine he didn't turn up for one of the cup games. Imagine that 15 years ago. They'd absolutely ruin him for it, wouldn't they? They'd never hear the end of it. This manager doesn't respect our league. He's from France. You'd hear all that. Nothing now. Jurgen Klopp with his brand new teeth. He's fine. Anyway, let's move off that. Let's get back to the game, because the game was concerning for us. We couldn't get out. We couldn't get out in the start of the game. They had chances. You know, Mane saved by Leno. Good point blank save. I think Van Dijk hit the bar from a deflection from Bellerin. We just had no outlets. And Mike, you were a proponent, and we agreed with you that William would start. He had 18 touches of the ball, and I don't think a large part of that was all his fault necessarily. But the reason I think a lot of fans were probably saying, well, maybe we need Pepe, maybe we need Saka, is I've only watched William for Arsenal for 3 games, so I'm certainly not going to judge him yet. I think he's had a very good game to start and a couple of poor ones. But I get the feeling with Pepe and Saka is it's a little bit more of a risk. It feels a little bit more of a risk. It feels like you'll get a little bit more ability to carry, maybe to try to do a man. And the problem you've got in passing is as inaccurate as ours was in that first half. If you had an outlet like Pepe, it might turn out negatively, and you know, you're defensively even more over the place. But sometimes he can just draw 2 or 3 towards him and draw 2 or 3 away from him and carry the ball. And although I thought Pepe was terrible when he came on, by the way, but I felt it was another safe moment. I mean, what were your thoughts on Willian? Certainly not judging him. He's got a long career ahead of him, hopefully, with Arsenal. But what were your thoughts?
Yeah, it seemed like he got blown away a bit by the press, but and there were times in that first half it looked like he was just passing him by. He was drifting in a little bit, and that was just allowing Robertson to have a walk in the park. Literally, he was just strolling down that left hand side. I think you tweeted after the game about putting some trust now in Saka, because you take into account what he's done. what he done last season, where he had to play, left wing back, left back. So he's got that defensive discipline, I think. He's a strong boy. He keeps the ball really well, and he does the same thing. He attracts people. I think when we were talking about it on the game yesterday on the group, I was saying get Pepe on, but I was, thinking back, we should have brought him on. He's got a lovely way to pass. He's very composed for his age. So I think, I agree with you in that regard, that we need to start trusting this boy and putting him in these games, because he stands up. He doesn't shy away from it, and he's got the abilities. But he's got abilities going forward and doing the other side as well. So I think someone else said, in games like this, do you play Aubameyang more centrally because of the way that he didn't get any touches. He hardly got any touches. He didn't have a shot on goal, didn't have a shot off target. So there's loads of things that obviously a defeat throws up, and you have all these, play the players in the right position, don't put square pegs in round holes, all that stuff. But I would have liked to have seen Saka get some minutes on, only just on the back of the way he played in the League Cup game. I thought he ran the show then. But obviously the way he performed in spells against West Ham. But I think this last 24 hours, and then leading up to Thursday, I think it's going to give Arteta and Edu a lot of thought, a lot of things to think about, to have a quick reality check of where we are, and for other people as well, just to say that we do have good players, but we just need a couple more and need to make sure that we have the right system, and the right players in the right system. And I don't think we know we haven't got that at the moment. There's probably 4 or 5 players in that team that aren't going to be where we want to be, as you were saying, in 5 years, if that's where we want to be, like where Liverpool are.
Yeah, and I think in games like this, it's, Aubameyang's been fantastic from the left, so it's easy to look at the games like this where he's so isolated, but he did seem very, very frustrated. But when you're going to play a game so deep like that, and you want to just catch him on the break, we really were playing the percentages. It does make logical sense to think that maybe you need your fast players up top in all 3 positions, whether it's, Saka, Pepe, your Martinelli's, your Aubameyang's, and just try to put the burners on because they play such a high line, such a high line. It's just incredibly high. You almost felt in the second half, we're in every time. But they've still got five players back there, but they're all on the halfway line. We're going to just play the ball and stay on side. And but Aubameyang, he had 27 touches of the ball. But when he got the ball, he didn't do great with it. He had 40% pass accuracy, but that's because, you know, and he was so isolated. Just and to isolate your best player like that, your best goal scorer like that, is pretty difficult to watch. You know,
Jack,
it must be difficult.
We
for
are
him.
Predominantly left side dominant. There is no partnership on the right hand side, be it
none.
Via a you know right wing back or right back, and that winger that plays in front of them. None of them have, for want of you know, there were glimpses last season, where we were looking at going, or Maitland-Niles and Pepe play a lot better than Bellerin and Pepe do. Or, you know, Maitland-Nut. But we are predominantly left-side dominant. Yesterday, Willian, don't want to slate him, but he didn't know whether to shit or wind his watch at times. He didn't know whether to, do I come in or do I go with Robertson? Do I come in or do I go with Robertson? And that led to the second goal. Everybody on the second goal is complaining about the cross, is complaining about that, everything else, which I somewhat agree with. The main ones are Holden and Bellerin both going, they're panicking about Mane.
He's 4'6". We've got exactly. Two players on Mane on a cross.
Everyone knows Holden has the one-on-one with Mane. Everyone should know that. So Bellerin should be back over there watching what's happening on that side, but he gets drawn in. And then Willian, I'm sorry, he is positionally awful. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier when my thing was all stuttering and jumping. Maitland-Niles yesterday, for some reason, was becoming an extra left midfielder. And they were just, I mean, the crosses yesterday, we spoke about it in the WhatsApp group, didn't we? We were like, the aerial bombardment that this team's going to play against us, and we need to be so switched on for it. And we just weren't. We just weren't switched on at all. So many players positionally yesterday were absolutely terrible. And you go back about Aubameyang as well. The one time that we went long and played him that ball that he wanted all game, and then he's two or three steps ahead of the others and he laid it on thinking that Eddie or whoever was going to tuck it. If he went on his own, I know it was too late to save the game anyway, but we played that ball one time. And I'm like, this playing out from the back stuff is because they're not good. These players ain't good enough to do it. And I know he wants it coached in, but we played that one long ball. And then
it's high risk, though, isn't it? That's what you said, James, isn't it? Like Arteta is high risk, and then when it comes off, it looks fantastic.
The thing is, Michael, is in his press conference after, he was so complimentary about Liverpool, which we've all said they deserve. But he went, you know, they've got the likes of a Virgil van Dijk that when that press does get beaten and he collects it, he lobs an 60 to 80 yard ball and beats our press. And I'm like, well, you've got David Luiz that can do a 60 to 80 yard ball.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he keeps hitting it sideways, or that one keeps hitting it sideways. And I mean, I don't know when you want to go into it, Jack, but bloody, you know, Mark Lester, Oliver Twist in goal. I'm sorry, you know, can I have some more, you know, with his hands like that? Okay. We talked about how he was a brilliant shot stopper.
That was the first goal, wasn't it? That was the first goal.
But in the second half, the Van Dijk from long range, he does that. What's that?
Yeah, palms it out to side where he should have caught it.
Can I just say, it kills me. Sorry to jump in again, but it absolutely, you know, really pisses me off when someone says a keeper is a good shot stopper. I mean, he's a keeper. He's meant to be a fucking good shot stopper.
Yeah.
It's everything else.
I know what you're saying.
I know. I'm not having to go at you, mate.
No,
I'm just saying.
I understand. Yeah. I get it.
You know, it's everything else. Is it the composure? He's dominating the ball, the area. And there was a guy who was actually sold who had all of that. We ticked all of that box, but that's another story. You know, that's another story. You know, sorry, James. Sorry to jump in again, mate.
No. I've never seen a German goalkeeper so physically weak. He gets pushed off everything. But I'm like, he's got no command whatsoever. And I'm like, is that because you're afraid of who's in front of you? Or was it that, you know, he's had those two incidents where the one he nearly broke, like I said, the one where he nearly breaks his neck and then he clattered the back of that. I'm like, but for me, I'm like, clatter him, because you've got to get that ball. Your job is to prevent the danger. And at the moment, people are saying, oh, you're scapegoating him. I'm like, he's putting the bullets in the gun for me, because his performances are diabolical. And I mean, people were tearing into Pepe all over my Twitter. Pepe this, Pepe that. I'm like, he had what, a 21-minute cameo? And okay, he was bad. But I'm like, you're going to dig him out for 21 minutes worth of play when you've got this goalkeeper that, I mean, second half, he plays that suicide ball straight across his own box to hold him. And I'm like, if Liverpool are more awake, that's 3-1 then.
Yeah. You see, there was a moment in the first half when I think the cross came in and David Luiz had to clear it, and he cleared it away, and he expected Leonard to communicate, and he turned around and he proper had a go at him. And I think he said before, I just don't think he gets on with him. Yeah. It's a lack of communication.
Luiz dug him out loads yesterday.
A static coming from the wire, I think, Mike. This one. No, it's all right. I don't know. We got to keep it away from your body. Okay. So I'm being sound specific now, you know what I mean?
I watched without the crowd noise, and David Luiz was tearing at he was.
Well, I tweeted that. Let's just go back, because we're going to get pelters for absolutely ruining Leno, because we initially, first game back, we said let's put it down to rustiness, didn't we? We said, you know, rustiness coming back from a not that long an injury, 10-11 week injury, right? It wasn't Hector Bellerin style or anything like that, but an injury. And you mentioned, you know, feeling concerned on you know, as he leaps and jumps onto the knee and all that sort of stuff. And fair enough. But the more you watch it, the more you start to see these like consistencies or inconsistencies, if you like, and his performance and the same errors coming up again, right? And I felt there was a large fault in the first goal. You know, Tierney did get done. It was a good ball over the top, but he got wrong side of Salah, and you can't touch him once he's in the box, but he's wrong side. But then Leno, just if you're not going to catch anything, you've got to have a strong hand, right? You've got to have a strong hand. But don't be old, you know, biscuit hands and just drop it right behind you, Tamana. I mean, that's a really bad parry. If you're going to be a puncher and a parrier, you make sure you punch and parry straight out of the box and hard and fast, right? And high if you can. And it wasn't a great effort for Salah. It wasn't right in a corner or anything. It was a save you should make. And I thought, you know, that was probably his fault. And then the third goal, you know, I don't say it's his fault, but there's definitely a communication problem. I tweeted that I can't recall Luis ever complaining to Emi Martinez once. I can't recall him ever even looking back at him and being like, what are you doing there? All Luis looks like he's confused about lack of communication or what Leno has just done. He just looks confused. And this is a player that's played, you know, top level for a long time. And it fills me with no confidence whatsoever. And it's a real concern. If we're going to sit in blocks like this for large periods of time and have to be defensively perfect, we are not going to be without a goalkeeper that can communicate and command his own box, are we? We're just not going to be it. Sorry, Mike, go on.
I was saying, I do remember Martinez absolutely digging out Luiz. I think I can't remember what game it was, but
the other way round,
And he went up for, he was going up for a corner. He was like, "Where the F are you going? Get back here!" You know, so things like that. He came in and just took things over. He was in charge, and if you've gone from that to what we have now, it seems like, you know, there's this lack of confidence, lack of communication. It's crazy. As you said, James, you know, German goalkeeper, you know, they're the cockiest ones, right? You know, they save every penalty and what have you. And we've got this guy who just seems like a very nice guy, you know, very good pro and everything, but it's just that presence. He hasn't got it. He just hasn't got it, I'm afraid. You know, again, people say, yeah, he's saved us last season. And yeah, that's because he I think he had the highest save percentage or faced the most shots, because we did have no midfield and no defence for half the season. And he's a goalkeeper, so that's his job. He's supposed to save shots. You know, he's not like Joe Hart, you know, going in underneath him and rolling in. He's saving, you know, because that's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. It's everything else. It's pulling something out of thin air when you haven't done anything all game and you pull off a save. You know, how many times did David Seaman, you know, hardly touch the ball, and all of a sudden there's a chance in the 89th minute and he pulls an unbelievable, how did he do that? He had to touch the ball, but it's the concentration and it's the security. We haven't got that. We haven't had that since Lehman in the Invincible season.
We haven't had it since 2 months ago.
but even with Lehman, he had his issues with every time he had a call, and you thought, oh Christ, what's going to happen now? What is he going to do that? But it's so vital. He saw the difference it made just having someone between the sticks in that, you know, restart period, made a massive difference to us. You know, massive difference. And like James is saying, he's setting everything up. He's putting the bullets in the chamber for us to talk about what he's not doing right.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm still getting a little static on your end. I don't want to keep complaining about it, but a little bit.
If we're going to go down this route playing the football that we're playing, because you've got to remember, he got injured just really as Arteta was shaping it after the lockdown, didn't he? You know, that's when he got completely kicked. So the defence now is so much better than it was beforehand, because if people want to go back and listen to him, you'll probably get bored. But if you want to go back and listen to the old podcast, he was best player, you know, in the top three players of last season when we were talking in the pod. It was him, Aubameyang and Saka that all, you know, when whatever lineup we had on this podcast, they were the three that were getting the most glaring reviews out of everybody. Oh, and then Martinelli, obviously, near the end, and Lacazette at times, Tierney at times, and everything else. Pepe from me, because I love Pepe and Nketiah. But yeah, we were praising Leno to high heaven. But now the defence has gotten better, he's regressed. And if we're going to go forward with this whole, we're playing out the back and that's that, that ball ain't going long, then he needs to play these passes much, much better and possibly quicker, because he wants more time on the ball. And against Liverpool, he ain't going to get it. But then also his command has to improve tenfold, because he has no command whatsoever.
I'm not sure you can improve that. I don't think there's something you can teach, to be honest. I mean, I didn't notice it as much the way we're playing now, because there's something quite admirable, in fairness to Arteta, as much as I felt we were too passive, to continue to play out of the back from minute one to minute 90, right? And this is where Arteta does differ from Unai Emery, because Unai Emery sees that and he starts pinging balls all game long, right? He's just going to ping them because he's scared we're going to, and Arteta, in fairness, he's not even got the players to do it. The likes of Rob Holding are not your best footballing centre-backs or anything like that as such, but he just continued to do it. And I was watching it, and all of us are kind of going, oh God, they're pressing us again in our own box. But he continues to do it. He just continues to play with it. And in fairness, it under Arteta, it has worked a treat against most teams, right? And it's just Liverpool are, I don't know, their energy levels are off the charts. They're just minute one to minute 90. They're like a track and field team on growth hormone and steroids combined, doubling up, right? One in each cheek. It's just unbelievable. EPO, it's Lance Armstrong times 11. It's just unbelievable, isn't it? The way we're getting it. But the energy levels are just off the charts, like you said. I mean, it's just incredible to see it. But Neil, let's bring you in, because we haven't spoke for a little bit. Neil, just going back to the game, I said Lacazette had to have a huge game, and obviously he missed a massive chance, but he also scored one from a bit of a fluff. But it was our best move, well, probably our best move of the match. Obviously, Ceballos created a few nice chances for us when he came on, but didn't quite have the impact that I wanted him to have, Lacazette, but not necessarily due to a fault of his own. Again, just massively isolated like Aubameyang. But it was good for him to get on the score sheet, getting pelters again for his finish missed, and he should have scored it. But you know, that you've got to create more chances. It's about volume. You can't, you know, even their strikers miss big chances. Mane missed two or three big chances. If you're going to put everything on one chance, you know, even very good strikers are going to miss them, aren't they, Neil?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought the goal was, that was a good move that from the back. I think Niles had a lot to say about that one. It was mainly he was instrumental. There was a pass from Xhaka as well, but I think Niles was the main contributor to that move. And it was so quick; it really was. You know, it was in a flash. We were up there, and you know, all right. Niles's cross wasn't into the intended person, but it was a bit of a mess up by Robertson, and then Lacazette took his chance. And you know, everyone was going on about how that was so fortuitous and how it was a fluke. And you know, end of the day, he's a striker. Sometimes you just got to sometimes take the messy chance and you've got to convert it. It's exactly what he did. And he is starting to become that player that seems to be able to score against the big teams. He's been doing that for quite some time, hasn't he? And it was good to see him get another away goal. So, I mean, for his confidence, I think that's it's a good thing. But you're absolutely right. It's not just about laying it on one missed chance, which, you know, I mean, you can play back that second that chance in the 60th minute, 63rd minute, whenever it was. Brilliant work from Danny Ceballos. He nutmegged one player, and the ball that he laid onto Lacazette was beautiful. I mean, that's the kind of thing we need. That's the creativity we need in midfield. And he supplied it in his cameo. And yeah, I mean, I just think that Lacazette's first touch was maybe slightly too hard, which put him off slightly. But, you know, end of the day, if you're going to get crucified for that, that's a bit unfair, I think. You know, it's not just about that one miss. Yes, it would have made a massive difference. But then, you know, you can look at other moments in the game where other players maybe have erred slightly. And it's just wrong to give Lacazette fouls. He scored one goal. You know, he got us off and running. However, the ball came off him to go in the net, doesn't matter. We're off the mark. You can't just lay it on one chance, as you said, Jack. It's not fair. Let me give you an example. Henry in the Champions League final, he scuffed a shot. Did he get smashed to pieces because of that afterwards? No, of course he didn't. You know, but these things happen in football. It is part of the striker's game, unfortunately. And I know he was distraught afterwards when he came off. Head, you know, his hands in his head. And I just think he's got to pick himself up and say, look, lad, this is going to be a massive test of character for you. You did score against Liverpool at Anfield. Not many players do that. And, you know, you go again, you know, either against them again on Thursday or when you're featured against Sheffield in the Premiership, you know, whenever your next chance is. He's just got to pick himself up for that. I don't want to see him lose any confidence or be negative about that miss, not whatsoever. Yeah, and the goal, and to be honest, the goalkeeper did all right too. I mean, yeah, Lacazette, you could criticise it, but he made himself big. But that was because I think Lacazette's first touch was slightly hard, and that was it.
So. Yeah. It was unfortunate. He was clearly devastated, Lacazette. And I thought he put a good shift in. He could have been a little bit better on the ball, but I thought he put a good shift in. And he did look exhausted. And in the first half, I was watching them, all of them, and they looked absolutely exhausted. And just looked like, you know, Liverpool just drain you when you haven't got the ball for so long. And I think our possession was below 30% in the first half. It really does drain you mentally and physically, right? Because you're so focused. And we lost our men in a few situations, and that's how they sort of. We were probably lucky to go in 2-1 up, but 2-1 down. Sorry.
Just what didn't help? They scored so quickly after our goal. So quick. Yeah. That can, you know, they all knew what a tough task it is to go against this team with the way they play, and we've set up completely defensively to actually go up and get a goal. We were like, wow, we did expect that. We're leading, and then to concede it within what, 2 minutes? I think that was a devastating blow for us. Massive.
That's where gaps could have opened up more. You just hold them for a little longer, and they start to try to press a little longer, a little push, a little bit higher, and those gaps behind start. And we didn't have a chance to take advantage of that whatsoever, did we?
Sadly, we still have that stat of since Arteta's come in, we've conceded the most goals from the winning positions, which really, really, you know, I don't think it's anything tactically. I think that again is more character and what you said as well, Michael, earlier about concentration. For me, I'm like, you know, you got to get that job done before you switch off. And still, Arsenal got our Arsenal, didn't they?
Frustrating. And Mike, just to go back to you on Ceballos, I thought he was the best player. He only played 30 minutes. I thought he was our best player on the pitch. And if you keep putting in performances like that, and we don't know how our midfield, we hope our midfield is going to change a lot in the next 4 or 5 days, but if he keeps putting in performances like that, it should be him plus one, not Granit Xhaka plus one. And I think, you know, we saw Granit Xhaka be subbed, and we see how much faith all managers have in Granit Xhaka. But I don't think there's any, and I've turned in Xhaka and felt he's improved a lot and done a good U-turn. But I don't think there's ever a point where I felt he should be just the mainstay of the midfield. And I think you saw in this game what someone, you know, with a little bit more speed of thought, a little bit quicker movement with the ball and progressive actions with the ball can do. And I think, you know, really the way we should be, I know he's a loanee, but in terms of quality, if he keeps playing like that, which he has been since the restart, it should be him plus one, shouldn't it, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the difference he made when he came on. Xhaka has done, he's improved a hell of a lot, you know, after obviously what's happened. He's got a coach that understands the position and has got a plan, you know, actual plan, it seems, and the philosophy, because we can see what that is with Arteta. You know, for a year and a half, we didn't know what the philosophy was with Emery. Was, you know, so he knows he's got someone there who's gonna help him along and coach him along. But he is someone, yeah, who should be, I think, the way he shouldn't be the foundation stone of that team. He should, you know, we can improve in that aspect. We've all said, you know, it's the midfield where we need to get fixed, get right. We've sort of done it with the defence a little bit. You know, we've invested in the defence with three young players, you know, who hopefully will build and form a really formidable unit there at the back. You know, obviously we've tied down Aubameyang. It's that midfield, and if Xhaka's there as a, you know, a guy that can come in and do a job against certain teams, great. But against teams like Liverpool, who put that press on and have got a lot of energy, yes, he's always seems to be chasing shadows a little bit. You know, so you know, just watching, you know, the game like you are, Jack. You know, you just see him. He's trying to keep up, you know, he's shouting, he's trying to get everyone concentrating, but it all comes from within, doesn't it? He needs to be able to do it himself and lead by example. And, you know, he that's, again, we're not bashing him, you know, he's turned the corner, so fair play to him. But yeah, I think Danny has definitely, just in that cameo, has shown that, yeah, it's got to be him and one other. And, you know, the way I don't think Elneny did anything wrong. He tried. He got involved a lot and put out a few fires, so to speak. You know, and he's done really well. And I can see him being a good asset as the season goes along. But I think on the next game, I think it was Saturday, or sorry, Sunday possibly, will be Elneny and Danny in midfield.
That would be. Oh, I mean, I agree with you, but that would be, to me, I'd be like, wow, that would be a bit of a shock for me, but just because of how consistent Granit Xhaka has been under Mikel Arteta and previous members. But I agree with you. Some breaking news for you. Serge Kolasinac will sign for Bayer Leverkusen in the next 48 hours, 11 million plus add-ons. Now, that is a good sale. That is he's on 100 grand a week, that bloke. That is a good, and that's Romano. He announced Gabriel, he announced Willian. He's pretty reliable, isn't he? So that is that.
We've got him for free as well. So yeah, got him for free.
Yeah. Can't knock the club for that one. I'm happy with that. And then he says in the bottom section, our focus, we're still talking to Atletico, and our focus is to sell Lucas Torreira to them on a permanent deal. So, I mean, that's a positive. Just to go back, Ashley Gallagher at @Ash_Gallagher. I don't think I've spoke to Ash before on our Twitter feed, so I think it's the first time he's asked questions. So welcome, Ashley. Do you think Leno needs to be told he is allowed to catch the football? We said that. Yeah, a lot of this we just talked about, which is interesting. It's much more reassuring to a defence and to a fan base when the keeper decides to collect the ball rather than parry it. I understand you've got to punch stuff sometimes, but there were like James said, the Van Dijk one. There's just times where catch it. Catch the ball, right? And he'll come for crosses sometimes that are easily catchable. He mentioned Ceballos. Surely he needs to start against the top sides for Elneny or Xhaka. We agree with that. We've been saying that since the restart. And do you think we went too defensively minded, particularly in the first half? I do. And I think there is this little bit of discomfort in my head in that I'm sure all of us feel it is. I'm not certain how progressive a coach Mikel Arteta is yet. You know what I mean? Like I still go back to what he started with. When we started with him, he started with a back four. We were quite free flowing. We were creating more. And then I feel this is still a temporary fix because of the players that he's been dealt. So I go back to that. I do get a lot of fans talking to me after games like yesterday going, you're quite defensive, aren't you? And I'm like, I don't think that's his intention, to be honest. I don't think it is. I don't think we followed the game plan truly. And I'm fine with being defensive. Like Community Shield, we were defensive, but we were clever with the way we use the ball. This one, it felt a bit too, actually a bit too safe and a bit too passive and a bit too respectful, despite the fact Liverpool are a better football inside than us. At the Warm Boom, Neil, thoughts on how we set up, lads? I remember Emery set up similarly last year. Neil, you said that. Also, if we're going to play on the counter, does Laka work up top? Could have had Willian and Pepe as Saka on. So he's saying, would you, you know, Neil, do you look at games like that and like we mentioned and just think, get your fast players in each position, get your biggest creator. Who's our biggest creators last season? I think it was, and scorers, it was Aubameyang, Saka, Pepe. You know, get those in your front three. What do you think about that? Do you think Laka becomes a little bit redundant when we're playing like this?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't know. I think it's too early to me for me to say whether he is or he isn't. I would think it'd be a bit of a disservice if we just then put him on the bench for a lot of the times and played another lineup. I think it was more about some other players, which I would have chosen rather than worrying about so much about him. That would have provided a bit more of a service. I think, as I said earlier, I think, you know, Gabriel should have started. I think Saka potentially could have played, but more for me, it was more about how the back and the mid lined up to be able to be in a position to provide the Lacazettes, the Aubameyangs, and potentially the Willians the chance and the way that they could have maybe taken advantage of that. I agree, you know, with Liverpool, you need speed. I think we were slow. I think we were taking too long at the back at times, and then it was maybe one back at the back to pass too many, which then, you know, it made us kind of flap a little bit and then have to hurry up, which led to Liverpool taking advantage of that. So I do agree, but I still saw all of that slowness more from the back rather than the front. So I don't know. I mean, I think Arteta has got to... I think it's too early for me in the season. It's only the third game. It is against Liverpool. It was a very tough ask anyway. And maybe he is... I know I hate saying this about managers, but maybe he's just trying things out a little bit and then see how he gets on, and then he kind of gets comfortable with who he needs to play for certain games and mix and match in that way. But apart from if we didn't have Lacazette and we had the three that you just said there, would it have made a massive difference if we still set up exactly the same at the back? I don't know. I'm not so sure. I don't know, because it's a service. It's all about the service for me. So if they're not going to get the service anyway, you could have like Bolt in the blooming front. And even if he's running at, you know, 200 miles per hour, does it make any difference if he's not getting the service? So I don't know. I think Lacazette also gives something else that the forward lineup don't do. He does do a lot of hard work. He does hold the ball very well. He's a strong player. I think it would have been doing a disservice to him if we just pushed him to the side and tried something different. But I'm not the manager, so...
And he's the creator, he's the starter of a lot of these moves, you know, you think about City away, at Wembley, you know, he starts that move off for the goal pretty much from Tierney's ball, he does it again for his goal, right, he's involved in the early build-up of the move. You're not going to get Aubameyang dropping deep like that, so basically what I think is, I do think Aubameyang down the centre should be an option, but only when we change our system. We're going to have to change it up, we're going to have that player in the attacking midfield role, whether it's Saka or an AO or whatever, to stop Lacazette having to come back to his halfway line to pick things up. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just can't be doing that constantly. He does an okay job of it. All bureaucracy, James, go to you. Hi, guys. My question, I think Arteta got tactics good, but sometimes not so good. How do you think we can improve our game versus the top six? We know we've got a terrible record, especially away against the top six, James. How can we improve that?
It's very, very... cliche, but you got to take the chance. You got to score those chances. I mean, I don't want to sound really like negative towards his question, but when you're one on one like that, you got to bury them. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it would have only made it a draw, but who knows after that? You don't know if that would have knocked the stuffing out of them, and they might have come forward a bit, and then we would have gone. But it's, do you know what I mean? It's, I think the main one is he's adding that central defensive midfielder, is that steal. And then maybe if you do that, you go back to a back four and then you play that person right in front of the back four, and then you have Ceballos and possibly Auer or whoever it could be in a three, and then you have that front three in front of him, and you just, do you know what I mean? People keep going on about, oh, you know, Leeds turned up there and had a go. They were brave and everything else, whereas we were negative. And I can somewhat see where they're coming from that. But then again, you know, like we said earlier, you've got to give credit. They Liverpool, you know, they're 5 or 6 years into what their journey is. We're, what, still 18 or so months into ours. You know, maybe even less than that. You know, it's really, really, really difficult. And, you know, I think as well, is you've got to get those more mobile players on the pitch and playing, because yesterday, for all that Xhaka played that brilliant pass within that first goal, which he did, you know, full credit to him for that. Him and Elneny are not the most mobile midfielders going. And Fabinho and Wijnaldum yesterday sat deeper, so they pushed on. And then that just created all that space on the sides. And we just, you know, ultimately yesterday, we just got done on the sides. We just got completely, completely roasted on the sides. And yeah, it's unfortunate. But yeah, going back to it, it's take those chances and then, you know, hopefully something comes off in the window. And next to that, play the players that can damage these teams. I mean, we had a few cameos, but like you said, the only one that shone was Ceballos, because Pepe, you know, for all that I love him, was absolutely diabolical in that 21 minutes. I mean, he got ripped more than Lacazette from what I saw. And I was like, you know, I'm like, God almighty. And this is the thing, 3 games in and we're really, you know, people are abusing the players straight away after 3 games. It's not a good look. It's not a good look. And I mean, Lacazette's three from three. He's the top scorer. Like,
that's mental.
Is it justified, really? Okay, it was a sitter, but you know, are we writing him off just because he missed one sitter?
No, you need to support guys like that. You got to support guys. I mean, I know we just, you know, had a little bit of chat about Leno, but I just have this very nervous feeling amongst the goalkeeper. I think it's because we've seen previous what we've done sort of towards the end of the season, but you got to support guys. You got to support Pepe as well. I think Pepe should have the right to be a little bit aggrieved, to be honest, with the way he ended last season. I think he was probably one of our best players in the cup final. I thought he was fantastic. He really looked like he'd bought in to under Arteta, and now, not that he should look like this, but he looks a little bit despondent coming on for Willian, like, got 15, 20 minutes to do something here, do I? Looks like he's forcing the issue a bit too much sometimes, because, you know, he's got limited time on a pitch. He's not started a game in the Premier League this season, has he? So, you know, what are we going to moan about him about for?
He'll
it's not
start
his fault.
On Thursday. And I'll judge him after Thursday.
Yeah, well, let's hope. I really hope he has a big game, because let's get to Thursday real quick before we go. I want to get to Thursday and talk about it briefly. Mike, what do you think about Thursday's game? Like, what importance would you put on it? I've heard a lot of people just saying, "Oh, it's not important at all. Forget about it." And obviously, I do think the Sheffield United game is more important, and obviously, we should rotate heavily there. But I want to know how much you think we should rotate. I always see it as an opportunity to try things. I mean, games like this, and for the players behind, because is our first 11 set? I don't think it is. So these players should be pushing to get into that first 11. That's what you're looking for, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty much similar to the Leicester lineup. So you'll have Willock coming back in. Might get to see Saliba. Interested to see if Gabriel features, because you'd think that he would come back in against Sheffield United, because, you know, they're a big physical unit. So I would say go along with the Leicester side, the played against Leicester, so that means Eddie playing up front as well. So Lacazette not dropped as such, but, you know, I think if he plays him on Thursday, then that probably might point towards him not playing against Sheffield United. So he's got that to deal with, but I think there'll be a rotation, like, similar to the lineup against Leicester, so that means Pepe will start as well, I believe. But yeah, it'd be nice to see what the reaction would be. You know, we've seen it in the past, haven't we, where we feel a little bit sorry for ourselves and we've been hard done by, we've had some refereeing decisions go against us and the world's against us and da da da, and we've had, you know, someone's gonna miss a big chance, and here we've got a chance to rectify it and show a bit of pride, and hopefully they will. And I'm sure the likes of Aubameyang and Lacazette will be on the bench, will be a loaded bench like it was against Leicester. So I think the boys will be up for it to try and right a few wrongs and put things right. Well, what didn't go well on Monday?
Can I get your prediction? I'm going to come back to you for a couple of transfer questions because we've got some pods coming up this week. Can I get your prediction for that game, though? Goal scorer and a prediction.
goal scorer, I'll go with Eddie, because, you know, he's always getting one for us. And I'll go 1-1, and we'll do it on penalties, I think.
1-1, do it on penalties. All right, well, I take it. James, what about you? Just thoughts on that game, and if you think, like Mike, we should play a similar team to that one against that we did against Leicester, and then what's your prediction and your score?
Yeah, no. I agree with him. However, I think with what you've said about Kolasinac, I wouldn't risk playing him if it fucks the sale up. So I'd put Saka at left wing back. I know I said I don't want
him. 11 million, wrap him in bubble wrap.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I don't want him playing if it messes the sale up. So I'd put Gabriel back in. I would have Saliba. I'd have Luiz. I'd probably have Bellerin at right wing back. And then I'd go Danny and Elneny for this one, and then Pepe, Nelson on the left hand side, and Eddie down the middle. And I'm going to go 2-2. I'm going to say Eddie and Ketia, but I reckon we're going to win it on pens. I'm going to come back on here on Friday or what have you, whenever you do your next one. I'm going to talk about how I should never have slagged off Leno, because look how he did in the penalty shootout. He's brilliant. That's what I want to happen. I want to praise him.
Yeah, there we go. Of course, that's all we want to do is praise our players. You don't think Ranason's going to start then? I presume. Okay.
I think you need to keep playing him, because his confidence needs to.
Needs games.
I'd be very, very. I'd be excited to see Ranason if he did play, but I wouldn't risk it for now. I'd go, this boy needs to play. Leno needs to be in there as much as possible, just to get even more familiar with that back line, because at the moment he's got nothing with him whatsoever.
I agree with that one entirely. I'd like to see Leno start that game as well. Shouldn't be rotating it yet, not just yet. And still might be more to say on this goalkeeper stuff by the end of this window. I don't know. Neil, predictions and goal scorer.
I think we'll see him. I'd like to see McGuinness play, that defender.
I think we've loaned him out, Neil. Have we loaned him out?
He's
at Ipswich.
Mate.
Yeah. Neil, this is what happens when you don't stay up to date with transfers, you see. You wait for the official account to announce things. They'll forget stuff.
Damn it. He's a beast. I like him. He's the one for the future too. I wouldn't be surprised if our new goalkeeper plays, but I think if Leno had done better, then I think he would have probably rested Leno. But I can't. I think now I'm going to go with James. I think he's going to play him because he needs that confidence boost for sure. So I agree with the two lads. So I'm not going to really talk about players, Willicks and stuff. But I think we're going to do this. We're going to get revenge for last season, and we're going to win 5-4. We're going to make it 5-4 and keep it 5-4. Willick will score another screamer, 5-4.
Bloody hell. Okay.
Pepe scores first goal.
Pepe scores first goal.
Still water in there.
Buxton,
that,
yeah.
Is he still
we don't know. There's nothing on it. Very significant,
It
looks
like
very dodgy.
I don't like
it. Well, you managed to get him through a lot on this podcast. If you don't like it, I don't see you like something. All right, I'll go. Oh, by the way, I was the closest with the pessimistic Liverpool result when I said 2-1, and we lost 3-1. And it should have been 2-1, handball and all that. Anyway, 1 point to me. I'll say we're going to win this one 3-1. We're winning 3-1. On Thursday.
So it's not far off mine, is it?
No, it's not. I think we're going to win 3-1, and I think Saliba will start because Kolasinac going out. I'm trying to think of three centre backs. Part of the back of my mind says play a back four and try things out, but I just don't think it's the time to do it with multiple games in quick succession. You can't change the system, but there
Can
is
I
a
ask
point
question?
There. Yeah.
Quick question. Mari, what's the news on Mari?
He is back in some sort of training, I think, but not full training. No, okay. Not full training. Okay. And then I think Mustafi's similar, but there's a lot of rumours around Mustafi, so I'm not sure if we'll see him again. Okay. But okay, I'm going to write this down before you go. Mike, I want... let's presume Kolasinac's done now because it's been announced, so I can't give you that one, so don't even try it. We're going to presume that we make two more sales at least, which is a very big presumption with our club, but we should be about six. But two more sales and two signings, and I want you to tell me two definite sales that we'll make, or loans. You can include loans in that, and two definite signings that we'll make by Monday.
Oh, two definite sales will be Torreira and
I'm writing this down.
Socrates.
Oh, okay. Oh, yep. Tor and Sock. Okay.
And the two incoming will be the oh, I can't even pronounce it. I can never pronounce his name. Him and I want to say party, but I don't have any faith in that. I just think it's going to collapse. So I'd say that Brentford goalkeeper. I wouldn't be surprised if something comes out with that, because obviously he wants to move. His agent wants to move. I don't know whether he's featured in the team again, but I've just got a feeling maybe with the way things have transpired at the weekend, or Monday, I should say, there might be a need just to address that a bit. But yeah, we'll love it to be part two, but I don't think it's going to, we'll pull it off, I don't think.
Yeah, okay. James, you can pick the same ones if you want, but that would be bottling it a little bit. But go on, James, two signings and two sales.
Okay. I'm going to say, obviously, Torreira.
Yeah.
I've got to copy that because I'd be silly not to.
Yeah, it's got to happen.
And then I think Mustafi is going to be the other one to go.
To Lazio, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. And signings.
Yeah, I'm going to say Auer.
Okay.
And I'm going to go really, really brave and bold. I think that we might get John Stones on loan from Man City.
Another centre back.
Because we're selling, I reckon, other than Mustafi going, maybe Michael's right with Socrates. And, you know, Chambers has still got a long time. Mari's got till October, November. And I think he will want another one that plays ball playing, because obviously Holding's there at the moment. And he does, you know, Holding can't do that job. And also Saliba, for some reason, is the man in waiting. I don't know what it is. That there's obviously something there with Saliba that they're like, he's not quite ready just yet. And I think with what's going on, he's going to want another one that can come in and he knows he can play him out. You know, someone he's worked with before and he knows he can play that ball out of the back. I don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think maybe John Stones on loan, because City now, they seem to be signing a centre-back every hour, don't they? So he's gone way, way down the pecking order. And I think with the Euros coming up, he's going to want game time. And I think out of all the other clubs in England where he could go, Arsenal would be the one that give him the most minutes.
Yeah. Neil, probably your least favourite question. Go on. Two sales, two signings.
Has Macy gone?
No. Oh, that's a good one, that. That's probably a good one. You're going with the odds there.
If the guys are right about the keeper, then there's a good chance we'll get results. We'll have four keepers on us, won't we? God. So possibly Macy. I would have said someone like Socrates, but I think I'll stick with Macy. And then, Torreira. It's got to be Torreira. I mean, obviously, I want desperately Partey in, but I'm getting a bit concerned about that. I thought that would have been done, dusted by now. And it obviously hasn't, and it's gone quiet. So that's a bit of a worry. So I'll go with Ronaldo and Messi.
Yeah, all right. Give me real ones.
I'll go Aor as well.
If you don't know a player, give me a position. Or maybe you don't. If you just think it's one signing, say one signing.
Back Partey, Neil. You've said it all summer. Come on, you've got to
say
it.
I'll have to, because that's the one I'm desperate for. So Partey in.
I'll tell you what, if it doesn't, that AFC bell better delete his account forever if it doesn't happen by Monday. I'm telling you now, whoever this person is, we all know it's Daily Nexus on a flipping detour, but whatever. God.
So Macy Torreira out and Aor and
Partey. Macy Torreira out, Aor. Okay, I'm going to go. I've got to say Torreira, because you're all saying it. I'll go Torreira, and I said that we can include loans, didn't I? I could say Balogun, but I think that's a given, isn't it? It feels like he's going by the end of this window, Balogun. No, you don't think so? I won't say Balogun, because I think it's a given. So I'm going to say Reece Nelson on loan. I say Reece Nelson goes on loan somewhere. I think that will happen. I just can't see him getting the minutes. You know, if we're talking about Willian, Saka, Pepe, where's Nelson coming in? This is before Martinelli's fit, by the way. And then two signings. I'm going to say Aor, and I'm going to say Partey as well.
I've got another one. Another in. Zaha. Zaha.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Really?
Would you take him on loan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, if we're not paying a fee or something, I'd take him. It's just, the only thing I was against was going out and spending your bucket load on that when we've just got so much up top anyway. It would throw me off, though, to be honest, when we don't play anyone but Aubameyang down the left. We've got options down the left now, and then we go and get another player down the left. I mean, it would throw me off.
Just joking.
Throw something out there on my sails, I don't say it. I still wonder about the whole Bellerin-Niles thing, whether we're missing something and something's big's about round the corner on it. It does feel a little weird. I know they're both playing quite a lot, but it does feel a little bit strange that, you know, if we get back to a full team, whether both of those are going to get those minutes.
Well, but if you look at Zaha at the moment, he's playing down the middle.
Yeah.
He's playing centre forward for Palace, and he's scoring.
Yeah.
And
the only...
He wants a move, isn't he?
Lacazette's still only on a 2-year contract. So is this one of them... Ooh. Where it's a loan with an option.
Yeah. Because I think we're missing
Lacazette might go this next summer, and then he'll, because Zaha wants to play. Zaha wants to be at Arsenal bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've played it quite safe with the sales. So
we need to be tapping up Mark on the phone, mate. We need to.
Yeah.
I bet you they wish they hadn't given Cedric that contract now.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, by the way, that's who should be playing Thursday night, James, at right wing back. Sure. I mean, he's always in training. But he's always I saw him in training 2 days ago, running up and down.
I went on the old injury room, and they said early October.
$65,000 a week. Never played.
It's funny none of us have mentioned Guendouzi out. Strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
No one wants him.
I know that's a problem.
Something that came out today that said people have inquired about him, but then when we've asked them if they want to actually put a bid in, they just put the phone down.
Well, I wonder if we can get him out on loan. Send him out on loan.
They phone us up and they say, so are you just going to give him away? And we go, no, you got to pay something. And they go, I'll see you later. Like that. That's where we're at. We're going to do one of the best talents in the world.
Conditioner he uses, mate. I'll be asking what he uses.
Yeah.
I'm only inquiry I make about it.
Let's be real though. On the sales, if it is only two sales, it would be really concerning, wouldn't it? I mean, I'm expecting to see at least four go out. It should be double that goes out by the end of this window. Just before we go, we were planning to do a podcast on Friday post Carling Cup win on Friday, and then. Monday, I think the deadline is 11 PM UK time, so I'm all bribing you into it. But 10:30, we're going to be on because we'll know about it by 10:30, and we'll try to do it live. Get Anthony on here and just chuck it on live, and people can tell us, you know, and we can look at our predictions and see just how wrong we were when we end up with Jorginho on loan for a year.
No.
Honestly, when I saw him play today, I was thinking, oh, well, at least he's playing. But I was also thinking, if he can just pull a hammy or something, it could.
We'll still take him. We take injured players all the time.
Oh, yeah, Cedric's one of them.
Come on.
That's the one that really gives me. I think the most likely thing is we get Aor, like possibly, because if we get him, we're going to get him in the next 48 hours because they've set a deadline. And then if Partey is not included in the Torreira deal, there's no way we go back there in a couple of days and go, oh, by the way, we do want one of your players. I know there's the release clause and stuff like that, but surely that's talked about there at that moment, you know, in this. So that's what throws me with that, is there's no mention of Partey with the Torreira deal. So then we look and we go, oh, we need one more. There's something not right there, isn't there?
How can you not add him in?
No. That's why I think it's a long shot, but yeah.
Yeah, there was some information about Atletico's financial situation about if they sell Partey to us, they'll only get like 12 million or 6 million or something of the full whack of what we would pay. So there's something going on there. You know,
I also read that if it's a release clause, you have to pay it fully. Like, you can't do the installment thing and that's what's thrown us way off. We're like, we can't pay it fully because we were planning on playing 44 million over 44 years. And they go, you know, you got to play it all at once for a release clause. And they go, oh, well can we just play something different then? Like, don't even say that. Release clause, just play something different. I want it to happen, so I'm saying it, but I don't know if
that shirt you're wearing, Jack. I'd love to go in the armory and go to them, like, yeah, I'll pay £20 today, and then I may or may not come back in a couple of years' time and give you the rest. and see what they reply to me in the yard. I'll be thrown out.
I know. We're hilarious for the deals. But I think the reason I want to do one on Monday is because I cannot fathom there not being some big stuff happening, whether it's sales and one signing or whatever. We've just done so little since Gabriel, nothing since Gabriel. And in terms of outgoings, that is mental. You look at the amount of players on our squad list, it's just off the charts, isn't it? It's off the charts. So let's fingers crossed, boys. Boys, it's good. It's still recording. We're on YouTube. Subscribe. Our subscription's going up every day, every time people find us. Subscribe on YouTube, completely free. We don't do any advertisements. We don't do any Patreon? We don't do anything like that. We don't ask for donations. But it's just an option for you. You can listen.
Not monetized.
There you go. That's the way to say it. And it's just an option. If you want to see us, because we're, you know, better looking than the other podcasts, and listen, then do that. If not, just listen on your podcast app. That is the only reason we're doing it. No other reason at all. It's exactly the same other than that. And for our own benefit. No. See what I mean? Look at that. There you go. So I can't finish it properly now. love it. Oh, yeah. Oh gosh!
Fame from this podcast. I'm filming currently from Cancun. I got a prop right out here.
Self-isolated. 14 days.
I've got my 14 days here in Mexico.